Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's up, DIY queens? It's your design bestie, Kara Newhart, and this is Make Space.
Thank you for joining us today. Oh my gosh, this is going to be just such a fun conversation today with these amazing ladies here. So welcome to the Complete Healthy Home, How to Impact Your Client's Vitality. I'm Julie Ireland, an interior design architect, product designer, and the founder of Home Renovation School. And I'm here with some trailblazers in the industry. In a minute, I'm going to let them introduce themselves. But first, I want to just tell you a couple things. There's going to be a bowl that's going to be going around. Please put your card in there because we come bearing gifts. There's going to be lots of fun giveaways, right? This is a fun conversation. So you want to put your card in there. We'll pick those names at the end. And that includes think of some good questions, because we have a little gift for you if you ask a good question, too. So it's going to be really fun. I want to tell you a little bit about what we're going to be talking about. We're going to be talking about indoor air quality, sustainable and non-toxic materials, color and sensory elements, natural lighting and biophilic design, and ergonomic design and comfort. So these are all really important topics. And I think it's time for some introductions, right?
Yeah.
Let's start with you, Anita.
Okay, so my name is Anita Yokota, and I was, for 20 years, a licensed marriage and family therapist, still am. So I help clients make sense of their story. Now, as an interior designer, I help them tell it through interior design. So I'm so happy to be here with Julie and my friends and all of you to discuss how to make your home and a therapeutic environment and to feel happy.
Awesome. Kara.
Yeah, I'm Kara Newhart. I'm a designer, contractor, and DIY queen. And my mission is to empower people to take charge of creating spaces that support all aspects of their everyday life. So a lot of DIY, a lot of encouraging women to pick up power tools and get hands-on. But also, I host a podcast that's all about design strategy and kind of really learning to think of your home as an environment versus an after. So,
yeah. And then Natalie, our 2023 Sustainable Winner, award winner over here.
My name's Natalie. Together with Stacy, who's in the audience, we own Shine Interior Design Studio. We have both residential and commercial design and offer full service design for both of those sectors, and we have really found a passion for creating healthy home environments, and it's really been eye-opening to think about the process of what goes into our homes and what we're truly putting in homes. And so excited to be here today and share with our friends too about how you can actually do it. You can make your home a healthy space. It's not something that's lofty or unattainable.
Yeah, achievable, totally. I thought we'd have a little icebreaker though. Let's get to know a little something more about them. So Anita.
Yes.
What's your favorite Starbucks coffee drink and what does it say about you?
Well, I'm born and raised from Seattle, so I know my Starbucks drinks. My favorite one is the pumpkin spice, not latte, cold brew, because it's warm, bold, sweet, and a little spicy because I'm an Aries.
Oh, yeah.
So that comes out through my personality and my designs.
Nice. Kara, what about you?
Mine absolutely depends on the day. It's never going to be the same thing, and it is entirely made up. Like, it's not on the menu. It's some weird plan that I came up with. So I think it's like a free-for-all. doing my own thing, maybe.
Custom.
Yeah, custom. Let's do it.
Natalie, spill the beans.
So I am on a little bit of a health journey, so it's been a boring answer of skinny vanilla latte, but I love to splurge sometimes and enjoy like the Christmas, like the praline one is so good. So I think that says a little bit about me and that I know when to be good and I know when to splurge.
Nice, nice. Okay. Well, are you guys ready? Let's get started. So I'd love to start the discussion off by exploring how we creatively tackle indoor air quality. This is so important. So Anita, how do you design spaces that are visually appealing, healthy, and support well-being through improved ventilation?
Well, I'm not sure if everybody knows this fact or not, but the EPA reports that we spend indoors 90% of the time. And that's a lot of indoor air that not necessarily is free and clear. So for me as a designer, obviously windows and doors to invite the outdoors air and fresh air in is great, but I've learned that skylights, if the structure allows for it, is a wonderful way to bring that ventilation and the natural light that we need so much for our serotonin levels, for that vitamin D that helps us with the circadian rhythm for sleep. All of these things are intertwined. So my go-to are skylights.
Yeah, there's nothing better than natural light, right? Okay, Natalie, as a sustainability award winner, what design strategies do you prioritize to ensure optimal indoor air quality in your projects?
So I think for us, it's all about what the client needs and what they're asking for, and setting that goal and then working through what goes in at every layer, from construction all the way down to the artwork, what all is going in the house and what it's going to contribute to the air quality of the home, because sometimes you pick up the sample and you smell it right away and you just know
that VOC.
And but sometimes you have to dive in a little bit more, but it affects everything from the first building layer to the building systems. You have to think and lay all of that out, set those goals, and then follow them all the way through the project.
Yeah, that's really great advice. Kara, as our DIYer over here, how do you recommend integrating like plants into your environments that you design?
Yeah, the short answer is put plants everywhere. Anywhere you can put a plant, put a plant. No, but I think plants, you first need to look at lighting. I think a lot of people make the mistake of putting it in a dark corner because they saw it on an inspo photo and it can't live there.
Right.
So look at your lighting and then also maintenance. Like there's an ongoing maintenance with plants. So you have to know like how capable are you of taking notice of the plant, taking care of the plant. But there's easy options like snake plants. You could ignore it for 2 months and it would still thrive. And those are actually one of the best ones in terms of clearing your air quality, and also ZZ plants. So if you need two to start out with, try those. And yeah, light, and if you kill it, get another one.
Yeah, I'm one of those people that kills it. Literally, I design like landscapes, but you guys, I can't keep anything alive. Like even succulents, even air plants. Like
you may be loving them too much though, because sometimes overwatering is
not good at it. Can't be good at everything, okay? Okay, let's talk a little bit about sustainable and non-toxic materials and how you're using them in your design projects, because this is another thing that's super important that, and I'm super intrigued about. I'm always trying to learn about products and learn more. So Natalie, what criteria do you use to select sustainable and non-toxic materials for your projects? And then I'd love for you to just tell us a little bit about your process that you go through and how you ultimately kind of bring it all together.
So I think sometimes it's not readily available in residential. There's not a label. There are some labels, but it might not be just off the bat. So you have to do your research. You have to learn to read the labels. You have to pull the material safety data sheets and dive into that and actually see what you're putting into the project. And so sometimes it takes some deeper reading about further than what's just on the sleeve and going deeper and researching those projects. But we always start with a design concept and don't let only what's available drive that. And so start with the concept, dream big,
think yes. about the colors and the patterns and the things that we love to do, and then start to find the things that meet the goals, like I said at the beginning, that you're setting those goals, and then find the products that meet that and bring that together.
Yeah, I feel like these shows are so great too, because we discover so many great things, you know, at these shows. So that's awesome. Anita, do you have any tips on environmentally friendly, like interior design? What are some of the ways that you use sustainable design to improve your clients' moods? And
so obviously we already talked about natural light, ventilation. Those are going to really wake up our senses and help us think clearer, focus, productivity. We talked about
Biophilia.
I was like,
it's a big word,
all
folks.
Night. Didn't work. But yes, I'm from the Pacific Northwest. So anytime I can build out a little bit more of the windows, like a picture window, it doesn't have to be like a spectacular Malibu view, but anything to wake up my clients' five senses. That really will guide me and inform me in the environmental friendly and sustainable items. There's even simple ways like aromatherapy and having trays that are beautiful, but having the aromatherapy there for in different corners and nooks. So yeah, there's many, many different ways. I don't know, Natalie, if you have heard of this, but I was researching a little bit more, and this new product or material, organic materials, they're using mushrooms. Have you heard of that for vegan leather? So I was really fascinated that as we are evolving in the interior design industry, that there's so many sustainable materials. Yeah. That's so cool. And it's organic.
That's really cool. Yeah.
So those are some ideas.
Wow. I think, yeah, incorporating the five. I'm going to remember that.
Yes.
Like incorporating the five
yes.
senses. Like that.
How we can stimulate our brain
every
chemistry
environment. Yeah,
is
that's
what
cool.
drives me with my clients. Because ultimately, as a therapist, I want the relationships in the spaces to thrive.
Yeah.
That's really my focus. And so how do we use our whole body to be stimulated in a very positive way at home?
Yeah, I love that. I love that. Kara, how do you assess sustainability of materials used in your DIY projects?
Yeah, that's a really good
that's
question.
Tricky.
I think sustainability, like when you say that word, it feels so big. And it's like, how do we actually make that happen day to day, especially when you're doing like a small DIY project? For me, it's like rule of thumb, the more natural, the better. And we start there. And so practically that's, you know, repurposing furniture. It's looking for nice. Low VOC paint and those kinds of tangible things. But I think it's also like just allowing the little things to matter, you know, because it's if
oh,
we
I
make
love
it
that.
Mean that we always have to be doing it perfectly, or we always have to be doing like the most sustainable thing, that's really unapproachable, and that's not actually gonna work. And I think the best example is like raw wood versus like a wood treated with like a fire resistant coating. It's like that material is innovative, it adds safety, it's gonna let us have houses that are gonna stand for years because they're not gonna burn down as easily. So if we only like have those polarization of options, like you're never gonna be able to like really choose, because neither are good. So like let the little things matter, whether that's picking up the trash, repurposing a dresser, they really do add up, and we have to like make that be worth it, you know?
I love that. I feel like we're writing a little book here. Like, are you guys writing all this down? I think we could make a little inspirational book up here.
Right.
That is like awesome, I love it. Let's move into talking about, this is super important too, color and sensory elements yeah. are a really important part of what we do as designers, how we communicate through the environments that we create. So Anita, can you share an example where a change in color and sensory elements transformed a living space maybe? For
yeah, I have a really special story to share with all of you. So I have, I had a client, they had three kids, teenagers, and the middle child was struggling with ADHD, and he was in his, you know, teenage whatever-ism. And so we wanted to reclaim his room for him because he literally was still in his nursery yellow Babies R Us wallpaper room, and he's 16. So I you know, because of my therapist background, I knew with ADHD, there is a misnomer that everything is overstimulating, so we can only use white, we can only use beige. Actually, a lot of, and for us too, I think sometimes we're understimulated, mm-hmm. and using colors that maybe are more desaturated, so not primary blue, but his his favorite color was blue, so we used color blocking for the whole walls, including the closet, and we color blocked his favorite blues, and that calmed him down. We had a corner desk where it wasn't like study time is in the corner, but it gave him a secure zone. So we put zones in a very small bedroom where he could easily access his tasks so he felt organized. So lighting, organization, stimulating colors that was a balance for him, down to some aromatherapy. He had a gaming chair. That was a place that he could relax. The desk, we had open shelving where he could put fun stuff on it so it wasn't just about studying. So there was a balance of color, textures, lighting, and organization. So the closet was very organized for a teenage boy to get his clothes so his mom doesn't have to nag him. All of these things put together, he just thrived. And so now he was able to overcome his shortcomings and feel empowered through interior design, right? I think that's just so amazing and cool that now he feels more confident. He's going to school and getting better grades.
That's awesome.
So it's a great story.
I mean, design does move us. Yes. Colors and textures and all of that does move us. It reaches our core, our heart. Yeah. So that's so awesome.
So I love having a giant white fluffy dog. And I also love having a house that's almost 200 years old, but I don't like the hundreds of years of dirt and dust that can pile up, making my indoor air quality not so great. So I decided to finally do something about it. I'm using an Air Doctor air purifier. It filters out 99.99% of dangerous contaminants, so your lungs don't have to. Air Doctor comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, so if you don't love it, just send it back for a refund minus shipping. Head to airdoctorpro.com and use promo code MAKESPACE, and you'll receive up to $300 off air purifiers. Exclusive to podcast customers, you'll receive a free 3-year warranty on any unit, which is an additional $84 value. Lock in this special offer by going to airdoctorpro.com. And use promo code MAKESPACE.
Kara, how do you choose color schemes for DIY projects that positively affect mood and create sensory-rich environments for, like, your clients?
Yeah. The thing about color that I think is interesting is it's so personal. Like, what's your favorite color is, like, the first question you use to get to know someone. But also, we spend all of elementary school coloring with crayons, and then in middle school, they take them away. Yeah. And so people think color is something they're supposed to be immediately good at. And then if they go to the paint wall and they pick a color and it doesn't work, they're, like, intimidated to try again. So first of all, it's just paint. You should repaint it. But also, navigating color is like...
It's a good idea. It's
metal. I tell people that all the time.
Just paint. It's just paint. It's the easiest thing you can do. But navigating color, it's trial and error. It's practice. And it's kind of honing your personal vision. You can do that through experimenting in, like, really low risk ways like Pinterest or painting, you know, something small. Or in big ways by picking a whole color scheme. But I think rule of thumb wise, always go more muted. I love that tip because I think it looks less like a kindergarten classroom, less intense. Always ground with greenery. If you look at color in nature, it's surrounded by greenery. And so I think our brains and our eyes, if you add green, it just gives it context. It doesn't feel as intimidating. And also contrast. Contrast is your best friend, and it can help balance whether you're adding neutrals or wood tones. It helps color feel more at home, unless you're going for that really artful look that's just like color, you know?
Oh, I love that. Okay, who's writing this down? Casey? That was awesome. Like, I love it. Natalie, can you discuss a project where the use of color and sensory elements was critical to the design outcome? Tell us a little bit about the challenges that you faced and kind of how you overcame them.
Absolutely. So we have a client who has mast cell activation syndrome, and so her body overreacts to chemical reaction. She has a severe latex allergy, and so she just stays overstimulated because her body reacts. She has to deal with the medical implications of that. And so one of the supportive advice tips that her physicians and her care team had given her was to create an environment that was as calm and soothing as it could be, to give her a retreat so her body could rest, so that she could fight better. And we think of that a lot in terms of healthcare or those sorts of situations, but to bring that concept into your own home, that it can support healing and it can support peace in your mind and in your heart. And so we sought water tones that, you know, kind of that nature relationship of just, so it was deep researching the quality, the indoor air quality, what the material was made of, but it was more than that. It was also providing those peaceful tones, the textures, the feel of something when your body's, just think about when you're itchy or, you know, you've overreacted to something or you have something that's bothering your skin, you want those things that are soft to the touch, things that comfort you. And so making that combination of it looks good, but then it also provides a sensory environment that is considerate of those things. And for us, a challenge was this client brought us a project and they're like, we want it to be Southern traditional. And so to find something and to find materials, that's not something that's very easy to go get off the shelf. You know, so we looked for cottons and linens and those natural natural fibers, just as bare as you could get. And it really came together in just a beautiful way. And that's the biggest compliment to me is when she's like, it's so peaceful. I feel so rested. And that's very a way we can support health and healing.
Oh, I love that. I love that. Well, let's go into the big word, biophilic design.
Biophilic lighting. Yes.
Okay, because it has so many benefits. Lighting just has so many benefits. So, Anita, how do you balance artificial and natural lighting in spaces with limited access to natural light?
Okay, unpopular opinion, or maybe not, but every time we, this is so simple, but every time we add recessed lighting to rooms, the clients, it doesn't matter who it is, always the same reaction. They always say to me, I can't believe we didn't do this sooner. Mm-hmm. For me, I want to provide spaces that have ample lighting so they can get their done, right? Like, you want to get stuff done. So in common rooms, like living rooms and family rooms and kitchens, like, you need the recessed lighting. So that's artificial, especially when there's not as much natural light anyways. But I'm sure all of you have noticed, there are so many amazing LED operated lights now that don't even need plugs. They're Wi-Fi operated, but the picture lights, there's little lamps that you can put on your kitchen countertops, bathroom countertops. Then there's this wall sconces that, I don't know, some even have 3M sticky things. Like, and they're actually hardy and durable, and it adds that task and ambient lighting that we all crave and need, and it's pretty. So that, I think, is my little trick of balancing it when there's not enough natural light.
I love it, love it. Natalie, can you explain the concept of biophilic design? That big word again.
Tough word, right?
We're gonna have a test afterwards. tell me, what role does natural lighting play in your sustainable design projects, and how do you maximize its benefits?
Okay, so we talked about the biophilic design and the connection to the outdoors. And while I think we do that, even in our built environment in our homes, we're so insular. We build a house, we seal it up tight, and we have wonderful windows and everything that's, and then we just keep it stagnant. And so it's adding the plants, but it's also having the views of what's around you, especially if you do have a Seattle view or you're in the treetops and being able to connect that. The challenge also is a lot of times clients will come to us and they're like, we put all of these windows in our home. And then they are dealing with glare, heat, and those things. Yes. So as designers, we have to look at what those layers, so in the same way Anita was talking about layers of lighting, we bring in layers of how we control the light coming in. And so you have to think about, are allergies a case? Do we need to skip the blinds? Do we need to put them inside the glass? Mm-hmm. Can we control light? Because if you are dealing with a medical issue or something, or a light sensitivity, mm-hmm. you have to be able to control it. So the solution just isn't plants and windows.
Yes.
There's so much more to it.
Yeah.
It's thoughtful. It really does have to be thoughtfully placed, and you have to think about, I know when I'm designing the architecture, whatever, for homes that I do, I'm thoughtfully thinking about where the house is situated on the plat, and then also, like, what is the view? So you brought that up too. Like, what are you seeing through those windows, and how are we maximizing the natural light? So that's awesome. Kara, can you share a DIY project that successfully brought in an element of bringing, like, kind of nature indoors? Yeah. And how you did that?
There's actually two. So my first one, that's probably my favorite, is a window plant shelf to combine both.
Oh, I love
that. It's essentially a plumbing pipe with three or four little, like, wooden shelves. They can slide in front of the window for the plants to have natural light, and then they can swing out against the wall to not block the window. That one's really easy. You only need two tools. One, if you go to the hardware store and have somebody cut your wood for you, you just drill little holes and stack them up. My other one is, I like to call it my masterpiece because I can't avoid a good pun, but essentially just like think like a canvas from the craft store, blank, and you just kind of like layer up different moss, different colors and textures, and create sort of like a living art piece that's not actually alive, in case you aren't good at keeping it alive.
In case you're Julie.
Right, in case you're Julie. But it looks very like dynamic, there's a lot of contrast, it's the greenery, and it is kind of like a square piece that you can just hang up on the wall.
I love that. I'm actually doing a lot of living green pieces. I don't have to care for them, so that's how they're going to survive.
Yeah.
But I am incorporating a lot of that into my design. I'm doing an office in LA right now, and we're doing that in all their offices. And I think it's a great way to bring, like, the outdoors in.
Love
that. So let's talk about a little bit about ergonomic design and comfort and its critical part in the design process. So Anita, as we explore the intersection of ergonomics and home design, I'm super intrigued about the potential for creating spaces that not only promote physical well-being, but also foster an emotional connection and relaxation. So what are some ways that we can use ergonomic design to make our homes more comfortable, help us work better, live better, relax?
Well, I love this question so much. I have two spaces that I really are, like you mentioned, thoughtful, and I think all four of us, we have intentional design, right? We're very intentional. So two spaces that will kind of give you an idea of maybe the next time you design something. The living room, instead of having furniture that's ergonomic to the space just for sitting and having it aligned symmetrical or facing the TV, I really encourage, I call it the conversation circle. Dot your living room furniture where you imagine, or maybe your clients already tell you, this is how we converse. This is how we get real FaceTime with the poofs and the stools and the swivel chairs, and really making it interactive space, because once you put a chair somewhere, someone always finds that spot and makes it their own. It's very, very special. And so thinking of it more of a conversation circle. The dining room, I know for a lot of clients, it's a really not a active room. So as a therapist, even back when I was just doing therapy, I encouraged clients to use that as their communication hub. So pick dining chairs and the table, have it conducive to more neutral, intimate conversations that the kids know if I need to talk to mom and dad, if there's a family meeting, or if partners have a conversation, a heart-to-heart, this is your communication hub. And from there, you can find the ergonomics that's conducive to the kind of interaction you want.
I love that. I love that. Unless you want them to sit out there, then you put the chair over in the corner.
Yes, yes. They have their little
You're not in my zone.
Zone. They have
right?
a zone.
Okay, Kara, as a DIYer, how do you create comfortable and stylish home offices? This is a good one, because we're all like, I would say most of us are working from home. I mean, my business has changed so much, I know all of us.
Yes.
So how do you do that?
Yeah, I feel like home office, it's like it has to be everything these days. But I backed into design the backwards way, right, by doing it myself and then building that out. Mm-hmm. So I always start with function. Like when I was doing my own spaces for myself, I would just sit in the room and list everything I wanted to do in that room. Like, what am I gonna actually do? And then once you know how it's gonna work that way, you can figure out how does it need to look and feel. And it's almost like if you're building a huge cake, right? You need to build the structure of the cake that's not gonna fall over, and then you can put the icing on. Oh, and I think where we go wrong is that we're like, inspo photo, what is it gonna look like? What's the color palette? Yes. And we need to just start with the framework and the structure first. So list out, what am I gonna actually do? And then you can start to match those elements with actual design things. So it's like, I need storage, okay, baskets, what kind of baskets? And so then you're really using your actual life and your to guide the environment you're building versus like a feeling that is fleeting and, you know, the inspo changes, the trends change. But and also don't be afraid to change. I think a lot of times when we think of design, we think before, after. And it's not a stagnant after. Like that after in 10 years is gonna be outdated. Yeah. So you need to get comfortable with the fact that design's an evolving process. It's always gonna change. And the more you can revisit and tweak, especially in your own home, not necessarily for clients when you're like, okay, it's yours now, good
luck.
But you can also empower your clients to like be part of that process. Like, I'm gonna go now and here's your space, but like as your life changes and your phases change and your seasons change, like you can move things around and that's okay.
I love it, that's true, because we are always changing and growing, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Sometimes we go to Home Goods and we just have to have that chair.
Yeah.
And so we have to find a space for it.
Yes.
And 90 candles, because I'm the candle
queen.
Okay, Natalie, how do you balance the aesthetic and functional aspects of ergonomic design in your work?
I think that goes back to being very client driven. As designers, we know the a lot of times we think of ergonomics as kind of by rote, like an ADA requirement or the height of a chair or the height of a counter. And a lot of times as designers, we have the opportunity to tailor those spaces to somebody and their preferences. We have a client that she's a physical therapist and she has her own thoughts on what like an ADA transfer shower should be. So she had a very specific way that she wanted the bench height because she was considering how she might have to transfer. And so bringing that into our homes and tailoring that, being okay to tweak it a little bit.
Yeah.
If you're shorter, have a shorter surface. If you're taller, have a taller work surface. And be open to tailoring those and creating those spaces for our clients. And they can still look amazing. And they can have that personal touch of, you know, the scale of a chair that's just right. I'm short. I love a chair where everything fits and my feet don't swing.
Of course.
And so I think we have that opportunity as designers to tailor and personalize and get that ergonomic touch to it.
Yeah, that's awesome. I'm always like thinking about height and that kind of stuff too, even when it comes to like the shower. Okay, how tall is your husband? How tall are you? It really does matter. It really does. So, wow. Okay, so we got through like all of our categories here. So that means it's time for Q&A and gifts and presents. The fun part. So how many, we have lots of cards. Okay, great. Let's, anyone have any questions? Any great questions?
Staying hydrated is so important, but I absolutely forget to drink water throughout the day. So I'm looking for ways to make drinking more water easier so I don't even have to think about it. Part of that is getting a cute water bottle, and part of it is getting a good filtration system. Because if you're like me, you probably don't trust your tap water. So here's my new thing. You have to go check out AquaTrue. Their countertop purifiers work with no installation or plumbing. It removes more contaminants than ordinary pitcher filters. The water tastes amazing. It's so easy to use, and it looks so cute on my countertop. AquaTrue comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, and it even makes a great gift. Today, my listeners receive 20% off any AquaTrue purifier. Just go to AquaTrue.com. That's AquaTrue.com, and enter code MAKESPACE at checkout. That's 20% off any AquaTrue water purifier when you go to AquaTrue.com and use promo code MAKESPACE.
Yay! We have have a question and no microphone. Just hold on for a minute. Oh, there she is. Yay! Microphone. Beautiful lady in the red.
Thank you. Hi.
Hi.
Great discussion. Out of all the products that you guys have worked with, which ones do you personally inspired by? I know that for me, Bain Ultra, it's a Canadian tub company, has a product called the Vedana, and it has like 5 therapies of wellness. Is there something that you always kind of go to for that aha therapy product?
I think for me, I already mentioned the transformative power of using light flooding in from the top. So again, sun tunnels are another option for skylights because a lot of times the just the structural of the roof and stuff. But I've suffered with seasonal affect disorder, so I personally know I've had clients with OCD, just that natural light that we really crave. So anytime we can bring in that natural light. So mine probably would be almost every project we try to fit in a sun tunnel or skylight, even in primary closets.
Yes.
We do that. So that's kind of my go-to.
That's a really hard question because it depends on the day. But for me right now, I'm really into like the Sonos speakers. They have some that you can actually do behind the drywall. So you get like the sound when you need it and there's nothing visual when you don't. And I think it's just the clean line and the aesthetics is really beautiful. And then it's like all the cool Wi-Fi tech stuff.
Yeah, love that.
I think for us, paint has been a big thing that you can influence. It's a huge contributor to your project. And we all know the fresh paint smell. And sometimes you want that, you love it. But being able to choose that, so we have a Sherwin-Williams product that we like to spec. Almost every line has a wonderful VOC-free, a latex-free. That's something that we've had to encounter. And more people are asking for stuff like that. Yeah. So having clients ask that has been, that's an easy button. That's something you can shift and change.
Yeah.
And it's wonderful to walk in and something to not, a wall of smell to not hit you. You just know that that's a little bit different feeling.
Yeah.
Great question.
For me, I would say, it's light. I use skylights a lot too in my design. There's nothing prettier than natural light. I love to use them in bathrooms, especially too to get that nice natural light in for us ladies putting on our makeup. You know, it can be a disaster. We don't want to look like a clown when we leave the bathroom. So natural light. And then I love to incorporate water. Like I'm always finding some water feature, some way to bring in a water, you know, wall fountain or something, because there's something just so calming about the sound of water, right?
Yeah.
In nature. So,
yeah.
Any more questions? Yes.
Back to the question about indoor air quality. So I know that we like to use a lot of texture and we're looking to put, you know, living walls in place. I'm curious about whether you have any favorite go-tos for dust, dander, basically just air filtration, keeping those environments safe for people, especially who suffer from allergies.
I think we've gotten very okay with seeing, even just having a place, creating a place for the filter, to have a freestanding filter, because you can have things for your HVAC, but then you almost need a second layer. And so we've designed spaces that have a spot for it, and you just embrace that it is there, and you can make a place for it. And so I think.
And these days, there's so many aesthetic.
They're nice looking.
Yeah. They are like there's a little leather strap on them, and it's like very modern looking, and the colors are
incorporated
great.
Incorporated in.
Yeah. So actually, it looks like decor.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And it's kind of doubles as a sound machine.
It's
just like very soothing.
It's soothing.
Yeah.
So. Love your air filter.
Yes. 1,000,000%.
Any more questions?
To piggyback on the allergy question, are there materials beyond clearing the actual air, like I suffer from dust allergies, so I'm really aware of how some materials will just hold on to stuff. So I'm just curious if you guys have any particular materials you love for their being like hypoallergenic or not holding on to dust mites, things like that.
I think for bedding, I love anything that's breathable and organic, so I tend to use linen bedding and everything for clients. I don't know if that's helpful, but sleep is so needed in our daily hustle and bustle, so I'm always thinking for clients what kind of bedding routine and you know, just even the bedding itself would help them sleep better, especially people who suffer with allergies. Mm-hmm. I know there's so many pillow covers and things like that that I'm sure you're already aware of, but when it comes to the bedding itself, I think linen is very nice.
Yeah.
Things that are washable.
Washable, yeah. Yes.
So we've done slip covers that are low pile, that natural material. So sometimes we shy away from that, but being able to launder something is very important, very powerful to be able to clean that. So to be able to consider those changes and things like that. And the bedding is a big thing that you can control the choices of the materials and the certifications. But being able to wash things makes a big difference.
And then a different angle, sometimes it's not about what to add, it's actually about where to remove. So I've had clients where there's no rugs, which I just want to put a rug, but like allergy-wise.
Oh, that's
like,
true. Rugs,
you know, yeah. It's like,
that's a good
or
point.
Putting blinds that are in the windows. Like it's like, where can we actually eliminate textiles that it's going to not hold anything?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I don't do a lot of furnishings. I'm the nuts and bolts. I design and build the house, so I don't have much to comment. I like Target.
they have a lot
Target
of stuff.
Home Goods.
Yeah.
So how do you work with people's animals, dogs and cats, in those areas, in their homes?
Talking about, you know, go-to rugs. So the rugs that I like to choose, especially high traffic for pets and kids, is it's almost like a no pile. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. But it's still soft to touch. It's great. It feels a little bit like, you know, those padded ones for the kitchen sink.
Nah,
the ruggable ones are a little bit maybe too soft. But these have, yeah, so I don't have any links. I can't give these right now. But there's rugs. Actually, at Home Goods, there's a lot too if you want to go to just a very accessible store, but very just no low pile so that nothing gets sucked into it. I have two dogs, three kids, very, very busy household, and you wouldn't like coming to my house because we have minimal rugs. But the ones I do have are those very low pile rugs that are, they're wonderful, and they're so pretty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And also like the correct flooring, like you can get like a waterproof wood flooring option that is wood, feels like wood, and then it's softer than like a tile. So you're thinking like waterproof cleanup.
Yep.
Well, with pets for sure, like tree vinyl.
Right.
Yes.
It's like,
it's a no-brainer.
No-brainer.
Yeah.
And if you have lots of kids, that's a no-brainer too. That helps. Like till they grow up.
Right.
It's kind of a combination of all of the things that we've talked about. Pets and kids, almost everybody that comes to you that you're working with are going to have some level of that, and being able to choose those performance fabrics, the heavy duty, and being okay with that. The trick to that is looking at the indoor air quality and seeing what those chemicals are that have been applied to something that you may have deemed to be okay. How is it being made pet friendly? How is it being made kid friendly? So it does add an extra layer of research to that, to ask those questions. So many manufacturers are so great to answer those questions. Mm-hmm. And we've asked a lot. And if they don't, then you kind of pass. But then when they do answer, it gives you that confidence of I can put it in a house, a pet can be on here, a kid can sit on the couch. So
Yeah. Okay, do we have any more questions?
Well, I was just thinking about design on a dime, right? Because we come across some customers who are in a pinch, and I guess in my experience, the lower end the product, sometimes the more difficult you have with VOC issues, right? So do you have any tips for how to design on a dime, being biophilic and also easy on the breathing quality.
Mine for that is reworking. Like, what can we get that's vintage and real wood and, like, repurposing things? Because it's, some clients want new, but some you can really, like, a selling point is, like, if it's older and it's well-made, like, that's way better than, like, Amazon composite stuff,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so sometimes it takes a little bit of educating clients on that, but usually people get on board, especially if it's, like, the look they wanted for the price. Like,
yeah. Well, there's nothing like a vintage piece, right?
Yeah.
And right. Bringing it current with some new paint and new finish. So
yeah.
I love that.
There's nothing more sustainable than reusing something.
Yes. Right.
And that is a great way to do it. There are really great products that don't cost an arm and a leg. And so it takes a little bit more work. It takes a little bit more creativity and also educating clients on what is the most important thing to invest in.
Yeah.
To invest in certain pieces that are the largest contributors. And sometimes that's our built environment. That's the paint. It's the glues, the adhesives, the things that we put tile and showers in. That can be impacted, and it might not be as much the furnishings. Mm-hmm. And so it's informing our clients on where to invest and where they can be okay with not spending a lot of money.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%. Yeah. Like, you just really have to think about, okay, where are we going to spend the money in the budget? Where are we living the most? Okay, we're going to put it into the wood floors and things like that. So, yeah. And then home goods. Oh, any more questions?
Hi, so as an interior architecture and design student, we're constantly talking about lots of sustainability and things like that. So what have you found has been one of the most like sustainable and also like affordable like window treatments while trying to implement the biophilic aspects of natural lighting? Because I know natural lighting can be a little bit harmful sometimes with the glare and stuff like that. So just some ways to work around that.
I think of you students whenever, because everybody's always like, lights and plants. You know, I put lots of windows in my building, lots of windows in my home. It's to not be afraid of using drapes. Everybody's so scared of them.
You're right.
They can be taken off the wall and laundered.
Yeah.
And people are so afraid of using that, but you have to control the light somehow. Mm-hmm. You have to be able to have those layers. You need to be able to sleep. You need rest. You need that quality of sleep that Anita was talking about. So don't be afraid of that. Learn the benefits, the pros and cons. You're all about informing your clients of the pros and cons. So I always think about that with students. And it's like, where's the next step? How do we actually make this happen?
Yeah. Yeah, yes. Plus draperies and curtains just bring texture and color and beauty.
And some depth.
They can raise your eye. They can make a small space look bigger and taller, right? Yeah. If you bring those up, so.
Yeah. That's my go-to for sure.
Any other questions? And that's it, and then we'll see you back at 2, right? All right, thank you so much.
Thanks for listening. And if you've got more episodes to catch up on, binge on. Don't let me stop you. But if you've got a second, you should come say hi on Insta at MakeSpacePod. And if you're an overachiever, you can also leave a review and I'll love you forever. If you're new here, hit that follow button to officially become a DIY queen and join all the amazing humans tuning in every week.